Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
What's up, boys? How's everybody doing this fine Monday afternoon?
April Fool's Day.
Excellent. Oh, yes. Happy April Fool's Day. Oh, The Devils are definitely making it to the playoffs. April Fool's. Yeah. Did you guys have a good Easter?
I did. Yeah, it was nice. You know, family you stuff, tell. Nothing special. Well, we went over my in-laws, and we were there for a while. And let's see. What was the highlights? That's about it. A couple little kids around. It's always nice to have little kids around Easter. You know, we passed the egg hunting age at my house. So yeah. It was kind of cool to see little kids doing that stuff still.
Nice.
I don't know. I would like to – I talked to my wife about reinstituting, like, the egg hunt. And you put, like, you know, real money in it, and you give them weapons. And you just, you know, like, that could turn interesting. Now you want to watch that.
So it's like – Hunger Games Easter style, or exactly. Easter Hunger Games style.
Right. Thunderdome like Easter. Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
She didn't like it.
All right. Well, let me know how that goes.
Well, maybe next year.
I'm putting the money on the older kids, though. I just think.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, there's. No, I mean, you know. Here's the thing. I'm thinking it through here a little bit. There's some specialty weapons out there that are going to even the score. And if, you know, even the smallest one finds, you know.
So are you pitting.
Semi-lethal weapon.
You have four kids.
I have four
kids. Are you
going
to just pit them against each other, or is this going to be like a family thing? Like your four versus, let's say, your brother's bunch and your
Well, that's
brother's
nice
couple.
To make it a real
you
melee.
You definitely have the advantage then.
Yeah, I would like – I mean, the more kids in this fight club, the better. I like that idea. it could turn ugly. And, you know, they're old enough to where they could strategize, you know, and, like, you know, team up against – other
kids. Yeah, the younger, weaker, smaller
right, and then the last
cousins.
Minute stab in the back. Just keeping the spirit of Easter alive, you know.
I agree. Because at the end, they all what? They're all resurrected? Is that
it? Yeah. And then I had a deer that got hit in front of our house, like, on Friday.
Oh, wow.
Happy Easter.
And, well, yeah, he's still there. Happy I was benefit. Expecting him to get up yesterday, you know, because he got hit on Friday. And I'm like, if this deer, like, gets up and runs off,
you were going
on
to
Easter,
start worshiping him.
It's going to be a miracle. I'm going to alert the nearest diocese that we have a miracle on hand. It didn't happen. He's still there.
He's still in front of your house?
Yes. You know, I guess, you know, animal control pickups on vacation or something. But it's a pretty big deer.
I used to live, you know, in when I lived on in the big house right by the woods on Indian Hill there.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching TV one night and I hear a car slamming his brakes. And I look out, and it's like it's a little Volkswagen, like a bug. And I see it stopped, and I see something kind of out of the corner of my eye. And I look over, and up my driveway, I had a real big driveway on about 3 acres of land. And I see this big deer go running across the driveway into my backyard. And I just thought that he either got clipped or she just missed him or whoever was driving just missed him. The next morning, because my son was only maybe, I don't know, 2 years old at the time. So we took him outside to go play, and he was dead in the backyard. The deer, not my son. He was
oh, good. Dead. This one has turned really dark.
Yeah. And no, the deer was dead out back. He was huge, too. So he must have got hit pretty good. And he, so he ran into the backyard and then died. I thought he would be fine. Then my neighbor came over with a friggin' hacksaw and took his antlers off, which I found very unsettling.
Just take the whole thing away, please. Yeah, it's only the antlerless deer.
Yeah, I was like, well, if you're going to be cutting his antlers off, you're in charge of this thing. I'm not dealing with
that's
it.
Yours. So. Take the whole thing to your house. Cut the antlers off there. Leave me alone.
That's it. Happy Easter.
Yeah.
Tony, what'd you do on Easter?
I had the kids to myself, man, my two daughters. So we did an Easter egg hunt in the yard. My wife did the overnight, so she worked with the 24-hour Easter shift at the hospital.
Oh, wow.
So we had my daughter's birthday party the day before, so that was really cool. She's just turned five, so we had my wife's family over. We actually have great weather because it's been cold as shit here for the last bunch, like, months.
What is it now, up to, like 30, and you're so excited?
Like, no, we had, like, the 70s going on, man. It was
awesome.
Oh,
wow. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's been beautiful.
We haven't even had that.
No. Yeah, we had but Easter, you know, I don't know. Is that, like, a lamer holiday than Easter? In my opinion, that's the most boring holiday of, like, if you went through, besides, like, Valentine's Day, because I think eventually when you get married, it's, you know, it's the usual flower thing, dinner, but, like,
no,
I think it's. I think it's not. You don't do that. No. Have I been tricked by my wife?
Valentine's Day is just as dumb as every other.
We have dinner
holiday.
Every Valentine's Day, but just like any other day, we eat dinner every night in our house.
But I think Easter is like the lamest holiday out of all of them.
You know, my anniversary. One of our friends, our good friends. His birthday is our anniversary, because we kind of did like that whole big, you know, hey, we're going to celebrate George's birthday at my wedding thing. Right. So a couple of years afterwards, we're sitting down having dinner and, you know, I'm on my phone and she's like on Facebook or whatever. And she looks up at me and goes, oh, it's George's birthday. I saw him on Facebook. And I look at her and is today our anniversary?
Happy anniversary.
Oh, shit. Yeah. We're like, happy anniversary. So that's pretty much where the romance starts and ends at my house. Yeah. Between
me and
my wife.
Talks to each other.
There's really not much there.
Good thing you picked his birthday, because now you have a chance at remembering.
Yeah, now we don't forget. We don't forget. I mean, I worked all on my anniversary this year, so we didn't get the chance to do anything. But Valentine's Day, we never do anything. So. But how about you, Bob? And maybe Easter wouldn't suck so bad if we were religious. I mean, I don't know. It's like we don't go to church. We don't do, you know, we went to my sister's house for dinner and that was it. And it was nice. But yeah. That was it. We ate dinner and we left like any other Sunday.
I know Bob, you watched the Mets get one hit on a little holiday weekend.
I don't want to talk about the Mets right
now.
This is the Devils podcast.
First
we got our own problems.
That's true.
We got deep.
I had a good Easter though. You know, just got back from driving home to New Jersey and just in time to put together a Devil You Know. But it's great for my kid because he's kind of that in-between generation kid. He's the only one in his age group. He's got a couple older cousins and a couple of really young ones. So they've always treated him real well. And it's just for us, it's just a really good chance to kind of get back with the family. You know, my cousin kind of took over as being that glue of the family since my grandmother passed all those years ago. So, yeah, it's just a real good time. I'm just happy that we segued to Tony before me so I didn't have to follow up on the Murder Club or the Dead Deer Club. So now we've got that out of the way.
So you just had a regular,
fun Easter. Yeah.
Like I said, we played some ping pong yesterday. We have a tiebreaker match, my wife and I, for later on tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And my money's on you.
I want to play you guys because I'm, I think I'm starting to get back to where I could play.
Yeah.
I'm almost ping pong ready.
That's awesome. So
you're one arm, that wheelchair over to the left.
Like, would you be? What like only doubles now? Like, or do you think?
No, I think I could. I think I cover the table. I think the worst part is like having to get the to pick up the ball when it goes off the table. That's gonna be the worst part. But I got it.
That's the worst part about ping pong. Anyway,
yeah.
No matter whether you're stone cold sober or not, you always look like the drunkest person in the room chasing around a stupid ping pong ball.
It always goes in the worst spot.
Yeah, especially when they're in the bars. You know, you're playing at a bar, and all of a sudden the fucking thing just bounces. It's like next thing you know, it's in the woman's room, and you're just like the last ball, and you don't know what to do. But ping pong's fun.
Oh, definitely.
So we did that. What do you guys think? Bob and I talked about the Sabre game last show, but you guys weren't on. So
no,
is there anything
I didn't make that one.
And about the Sabre game.
Well, I am curious what you guys said about it, but me, I was just like, yeah, well, this is it. This is like, you know, we were hoping for like some drastic change in developing a winning consistency, beating the teams that you should beat. But no, this is what we've been doing all season. This is consistent with our season of missed opportunities.
And yeah,
I was just really bummed about that. You know, I didn't think there was like one thing I could put my finger on that was like, oh, this is all it was just general crap. I don't know how else to put it. It was the same thing as all their losses to inferior teams all year long.
And that's the norm. So what we've seen all year.
I mean, yeah.
And I think with, you know, the Devils, I just, as a fan, yes, I still hope they pull some miracle off and sneak in, you know.
Didn't it feel like the final nail in the coffin, though, too?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I don't know if I said this to Chris or Bobby, but I just don't think they're good enough this year. It's just what it comes down to.
Right.
There's a lot of problems going on that, you know, I just don't see it. I haven't seen it at all this year. And, I mean, we get in the playoffs. What are we going to do there? I mean, I just don't. And the fan of me hopes they get in and make a run and some miraculous thing happens. But deep inside, like, doing this show, every time I watch lately, like, this week was just – I know we said a couple episodes ago, hey, it's over, but we kind of still had that little bit of hope. After that Buffalo loss, it just really felt like it's
– It does – that's the thing that's so crazy though, right? Because you don't have much hope because they have been so inconsistent this season that it's hard to get behind any kind of positive game flow, you know. But then it's like – everybody keeps keeping the door open.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, you know,
wider either, and wider.
Yeah. This is like really shit or get
the,
off.
The timing is weird kind too, because like every time we are on a little bit of a heater, everybody keeps pace and we can't really close that gap as much as you want. Right. And then, you shit the bed against Buffalo, but the gap's almost the same. It's very weird how like the other teams are not pulling away when we give them a chance, and nor are we closing the gap when they give us a chance. It just feels that way.
I think games in hand get played tonight, right? Isn't there tonight and tomorrow? We have a couple because we don't. Well, we play tomorrow, but like who plays tonight, Bobby? You have the
so we got Penguins are up against the Rangers, Islanders, and Flyers. So kind of want who are you picking that clean? Probably the Islanders, I guess.
The Islanders, yeah.
They got the Lightning against the Red Wings, and I think that's the most that's of interest to us.
Washington's not playing tonight.
No, Washington's not playing.
I mean, you know, that's the crazy thing, that there really is still a path. It's not, I don't think, much.
I didn't look at the percentage after the Buffalo game. It was hanging out at like 13-something, and then it might have went up a little bit, right? Didn't we talk about that?
I don't find out.
And that's got to be back down. Are we single digits again? Or I mean, I don't even really care. But yeah.
Right now, according to Money Puck, the New Jersey Devils are at 9.6%.
So barely dipped down to the single digit odds. Yeah. So there's still a hope. One out of 10.
Right where we
almost
want them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't remember the exact game stats. I think Bill Spalding put it up recently. But other than the Capitals, who went like 6-3 or 6-3-1 or something in the last 10, the only other team in this kind of mix, you know, the Red Wings, us, Penguins, Flyers, the only other team to be 500 or better is the Devils at 5-5. And the other teams are, you know, 3-5 or 4-6, just barely enough to move. But still, all the more reason where if we had gone 7-3, you know, this is a lot closer.
I mean, you go through the last couple of weeks, right? The last 3 weeks, you got the loss against the Coyotes, right? We should have banked 2 points there. You got the loss against Ottawa. They should have banked 2 points there. And the loss against Buffalo, that's 6 points.
Six points.
We're in a wild card spot right
now. That's it. Exactly. 100%. We're tied
with the Flyers with a tiebreaker.
And if you lose to a couple of teams that are ahead of you in the standings, you can accept that a little bit more. But these were three that you needed to win, that you could win, that you didn't even have significant injuries or some crazy officiated game that, oh, man, everything was stacked against you.
We lost two to the Sharks, man. We lost two to the Sharks this year too. That's 4 points right there. Of games that we should have.
Yeah, Columbus. You know,
even
if they lost
to the Sharks once.
More respectable, you know, win two of those three that Dan just referenced, and we're still sitting only two points behind that game in hand against the Flyers. It's just, it's all woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right now, we're 6 points back with eight left to play. Right.
Yes.
So, I mean, that there's no room for losses, period. And, you know, that's also with help. So, yeah, I mean, it's – and like you said, even if they did somehow sneak their way in, you know, unless these last eight games and these last, you know, two and a half weeks, they do kick it up to another level. But I mean, they haven't done it in, you know, all season. Yeah. So,
As the last time – that I was on with you guys, we were talking about like, hey, if they make it in the playoffs, you're going to have a different opinion about what they can do in the playoffs because they're going to have to put a lot of wins together. But notice that even though there's a mathematical chance now, as we're talking about eight games, seven games, six games, even if they went on a six games heater, are you going to believe that's good enough for playoffs anymore? I mean, it's going to be I'll cross my fingers. But no, I don't think if the forces align to somehow get them in the playoffs that you, like Tony said, have any real faith in them to do anything in it. But, you know, we're going to
sit back. Hamilton's out too for the whole – I think he's done.
They finally called that. Like, yeah, we kind of knew that all year, right? Yeah. Or at least most of the year that he's not coming back. Yeah, I was always thinking, like, why even say it? This is more depressing news for the Devils fans. It's not like we were waiting for him, like, asking the question. Yeah.
Right? So with eight games left – before we get into the devil you know and our predictions and accountability and all that, like, what do you guys want to see out of these last eight games? Like, is there anything specific you want to see from this team, or, you know, are we just kind of waiting for the end here and really can care less about how this whole thing ends up?
Short of them actually pulling off the miracle, I want to see them get so close that you see like the real dejection at the that last game that eliminates them, where they really realize what they missed. Just to kind of
you
put
want
a
them
bow
to
on
feel
this.
It.
I want them to feel it. They got to carry this into
you
next
hurt year.
Them.
They do.
You little dirty bitch.
Listen, man.
All the hurt that they've lose. Given us this year, you want to give it back to them.
That's right.
Some okay. Dirty stuff there, Bob.
maybe I'm not the happy homer really anymore. I don't know what's going on.
I just will wonder how many S&M really
Bobby.
Care.
You know, that's the thing, Dan. You're right. Because, you know, you watched, like, the Buffalo game, and we talked about it. There were guys playing in that game that just did not look like they gave a shit. They were not playing, you know, again, the gliding and the indecisiveness with the puck. And
I have no
not
proof,
even...
but I think they were thinking of golf or something.
Well, you know, if that's the case, that's fine. Then just, you know, let's reset and dive into what these guys can do in the off season. We had some feedback from Tim Wood, our listener. We were going back and forth. Our listener. Our only listener.
Thanks, Tim. Come on. There's like two or three.
I think of five solid people.
Yeah. Tim, Jersey Joe.
So, you know, we were going back and forth about things that kind of feel like, you know, what should these guys do in the off season and stuff. And he had a couple of things. I just want to throw it by you guys. And he puts his ideal lineup for next season. Okay. So this is like with some moves and getting some new guys in here. So he writes that, you know, he thinks that we need like that 1A, an asshole on the wing, like Bertuzzi, or even make a run at Sam Reinhart, and a 2 or 3C like Chandler Stephenson or Sean Monahan. I like the – like I've been pounding the table for Tyler Bertuzzi for two years now.
Yep.
And he'll be – he only signed a one-year deal with the Maple Leafs this year, so – somebody like him, somebody like Reinhardt, who just has had a career year this year. I think either one of those guys would be phenomenal on this team. Then he writes, I'd be surprised if the decor changes much. With Dougie back, everyone gets slotted back properly. One of the reasons I have confidence in a bounce back for Marino and Seegs. Seegs pairs back with Dougie, which is a great pair. And I see Marino more as a victim of some circumstances. He's had some tough moments, but he did last year too. The amount of goals he's been on for that should have been saved really skews the numbers. Perfect microcosm was Buffalo game. First goal, neutral zone turnover. He didn't have time to gap up properly, and Tage put a hole in Allen's glove. Third was that bonehead reverse from Ball, and Nico was tracking back on Tage. And then we talked a little bit about Ball. But what do you guys think about that defensive core? Do you think they're okay right now with just, you know, putting Hamilton back? I don't necessarily – like the guys like Siegenthaler or Marino and Ball.
I can't say I'm so, as hot on Siegenthaler as he is, that if he somehow gets back with Dougie Hamilton, he's going to be – have all his problems, you know, fixed. That said, you know, it's possible. Let's face it. If he played like he did last year, that was more than serviceable. That would be good. And there's no reason why him and Marino can't have bounce back years. So he's not like wildly off with that. I still don't feel like the confidence in it. You know, no. I really don't.
And this is the lines that he'd like to see for next season. So line one, he has Nico centering Timo and Bratt, which is what we've seen now. Jack Hughes back in the middle with Alex Holtz and Tyler Bertuzzi. Chandler Stephenson, 3C, with Dawson Mercer and Andre Palat. And Eric Halla down on the fourth line with Nate Bastian and Curtis Lazar. What do you guys think of that?
I like that fourth line. I'll tell you that right now. That I really like. And Bertuzzi,
like
I'm with you, dude.
Line.
Bertuzzi, yeah. I'm just looking at what he did so far this year. He's got 18 goals, 19 assists again. So he's not, you know, he's not slowing down at all.
You know, he had a mid-range year last year with Detroit before the trade to Boston. He really didn't do much after the trade deadline up to the playoffs. But if you watched just 7 games, Boston, Florida last year, he was noticeable, man. He is like a playoff dude. He was he really showed up for that series, and that's kind of what made me really fall in love with him. Like, we should think about getting this guy.
He's a personality the Devils need. So, I mean, I think definitely something that we can use on this team right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Seems like a good fit for Jack, right? Because he can score, can also protect him a little bit, you know, and then maybe he got some more options on the other wing.
I agree. Do you guys, Tony, do you know anything about, where is this guy? He mentioned it to me.
Stevenson?
No, not Chandler Stevenson. Rand Pecknold. He's the coach of Quinnipiac. You know about this guy at all?
No, uh-uh.
he wrote that Rand Pecknold of Quinnipiac as a coach option. His teams are so structured and disciplined with a bunch of no names. Also would be fun because he was Tim's college coach for a year before he went to Quinnipiac. But I don't know anything about this guy. Do you think that Fitz would go that route, a college guy, no experience in the NHL? Or do you think this is going to be the old recycle coach hire, and it's going to be somebody that's been in the league forever?
Someone in the league for a while, I think.
Maybe. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking a chance on somebody who seems like they'd be the right kind of fit and organize the team well and get a lot out of them, even if they haven't had an NHL debut, if we couldn't get somebody who fits that bill and has had NHL experience. I mean, you'd want that ideally. Like we were mentioning, like a Berube. You know, of course, if you got your wish and you're not going to get somebody like Brindamore, right?
Yeah,
we like that style. We like what he does. He's got the, you know, nice balance. If you could get somebody who seems like he's in the mold of Brindamore coming up, I prefer him over, like, I don't know, like recycling a type of coach we don't need right now.
I know that, like, I think Devil fans, are a lot of them are on the Mike Sullivan train.
Right.
And you know, I think Mike Sullivan's a good coach. I think he's a very good coach. But, I there's something about the recycled guys that just keep kind of coming back that I'm like, meh, it doesn't interest me. I think Sullivan could do some good stuff with this team, but I would kind of like him to think a little bit more outside the box. I do like Craig Berube a lot. And, of course, if – you know, for some reason, Rod Brindamore decided he really wanted to coach another team other than Carolina, which isn't going to happen.
Yeah,
that is the perfect fit for him and that team. I don't think he's ever leaving. I don't know. Maybe a guy like from the college ranks coming up. Again, I think a lot of it has to do with their personality because they're going to need a hard ass. They're going to need somebody that's going to hold these guys accountable for everything they do on the ice. And I don't see that right now with Travis Green or before with Lindy Ruff. So
I did not catch his post-game press conference, and I kind of wanted to because that was such a poor effort. I was curious what he was going to say about it, you know?
Did
you notice anything noticeable with that?
No, I didn't catch it. Yeah. Did you guys?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow is a big game. You got the Penguins. You know, we've had their number, but – again, it comes down to, I'm real curious, how are they going to come out? Are they kind of just going to phone it in from here on out?
Yeah, I know. That was tomorrow. The worst thing about that game. It just seemed phoned in.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Tom?
I think they win tomorrow. I mean, I'm not, you know, for some reason I picture them having a bounce back game. You know, I mean, we have the Ranger game is obviously the real interesting one. That's going to be, I don't even know who's going to be healthy for us or not to play that game. I don't know if Kevin McDermott's going to be ready to go. I have no idea.
I know. I was wondering about that.
Curtis.
I don't know. Curtis, I mean, yeah.
Curtis with a K. And we got two Curtises. The other one's with a C.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he'll be ready.
That was the game when you guys asked, like, what are you looking for the rest of the season? That's what came to my mind. I've said this since the last game that was just, you know, awful that we played against the Rangers, that this team, you know, needs to show heart against that. And honestly, that's the highlight of the rest of the season for me is how they come back April 3rd. If, you know, they're heartless there, boy, I have even a lower opinion of where we're at. So I'd love to see a good team effort. And I don't, you know, I want, you know, a certain amount of revenge. I want them to have a chip on their shoulder and show that they're a team, which is so far different from what we saw against Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, win or lose against the Penguins, and no matter where the standings are or where they are in the standings, you've got to go into that game at the Garden, and you got to play the best game you played all year. I mean, and you have to give it to them. Like, they're going into the playoffs, a very hot team with Stanley Cup aspirations. I would make them pay one way or another. Make them pay for what they've done all year long. And if McDermott's not in, someone else is going to have to step up, and I don't know who the hell is capable of it.
Could you imagine if this was like the 95 team in this situation and teams like that? Like, you always knew how nasty of a game it was going to be. I have this back in the back of my head. I'm like, I hope our guys aren't nervous going into this because, like you said, Chris, we really don't have anybody. I mean, Lazar will scrap. And we have guys who will stick up, you know, but I mean, who can't handle it, though. And the Rangers are, you know, I'm sure what's his name? Remke's going to be playing, I'm sure. So that's going to be interesting to watch, too.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. Well, that's the games for this week coming up. We have the Penguins, we have the Rangers, and we have our rematch against the Senators. But let's go back and do our accountability session from last week, which was the Islanders, the Maple Leafs, and the Buffalo Sabres. We'll start with you, Bobby, and where you were on this whole thing. You said that Jesper Bratt would score a goal against the Islanders. That didn't happen. You said that we would have two or more power play goals against the Maple Leafs. I think that all five of those goals were even strength.
Yes.
So you missed on that. And then you said that Dahlin would get 0 points against us in the Buffalo game. He had a goal. I mean, an assist. So he had 1 point.
Back to my winning ways.
Yeah, now
feels we'll so those, negative when he presses that buzzer, doesn't it? It's like yeah.
We'll deal with Tony. You said that Timo Meier would lead the team in points this week. He did not. He was tied with Jesper Bratt. If I did my with 5 points, if I did my math right, so he was not leading. You said that Palmieri would get a point in the Islander game. They were held scoreless. And you said that the Devils will win one of the next two games. And that was after the Islander game. So you were just talking about the Leafs and the Sabres, that they would win one, they would lose one.
Rough.
You got the point.
Oh, I did. Never mind.
Yeah. Now, I said that the Devils would have their first shootout. And they did not.
That's right.
I said... Now, we didn't talk about this, but I don't know if this is a hat trick or not, because Tony said that they were going to go 1-1 against the Sabres and the Maple Leafs. I said that the Devils would beat the Leafs and lose to the Sabres.
You did, yeah.
So is that a hat trick, or is that just 1 point?
It's pretty
specific.
I'll
let you guys decide.
I mean, usually there's more than two things we factor into the hat trick, though.
The only thing is, Tony gets a point for that, and then, like, that's, you know, you're calling... You know, like you're calling it straight. It's not a box, you know, at that point. So it's kind of,
it's up to you guys.
Yeah, I'm okay with the hat trick, or if you guys wanted to split the difference and go 2 points, I don't give a shit. Whatever.
Look, I'm last in points with 8 games.
Yeah, the hat
here,
trick
guys.
Ain't gonna matter. No. So give him the hat trick, guys.
All right, let's give him the hat.
Okay.
With prejudice.
And I said that the Devils would. What'd you say?
Duly noted.
Little asterisks next.
Yeah, with prejudice, he said. So.
I said the Devils would score a goal with their goalie pulled. We can't do that.
No.
That just does not happen. Okay. Where am I? Dan said that the Devils would get a shutout. And they did.
Yeah.
We celebrated you last
time. It's the last one, though. I think I predicted another one, and that was wrong.
You said that the Devils would allow 4 or less goals over the next 3 games. They had 3 goals against the Leafs and 5 against the Sabres, so you were wrong.
Totally.
And you said that the Devils would go 2-0 after the Islander game, so you're saying they would beat the Leafs and they would beat the Sabres.
It's only half right.
And that now puts us at...
Well, we did give Dan the hat trick for the shutout, did we not? For sticking with it all
Oh,
year?
Yeah, he got the hat trick.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make
Dan
sure.
is in the league with 20 points.
Tony, let's go with the hat trick.
Tony is in second place. Actually, Tony and Bob are... No, I'm sorry. Tony's got 18 points. Bobby has 13 points. I have 11 points. And that's where we are right now. So we got 8 games left this week coming up. Penguins, Rangers, Ottawa. We'll start with you. Tony, what is your first prediction of this week?
Devils will win 2 out of 3.
Okay. Dan?
I predict that there will be a fighting major in the Devil Ranger game.
A few of those.
And that's even with McDermott out, so it's not such a slam dunk.
I agree. You know. Bobby, what's your first prediction?
So I need a little help with this one if you guys just indulge me for a second, because my Certainly. Prediction originally is that if – I thought McDermott was going to be back. So I want to say, if healthy, he will definitely be the one to fight. If he's not healthy, I'm wondering if I could just parlay that into whoever fights for the Devils will get the instigator. Just because I don't know if McDermott's coming back or not.
So do you want to keep the, if McDermott is in, he's going to fight Rempe. Yes. And if not, whoever fights will get the instigator.
Correct.
All right. And just reasonable. Against the Ranger game is what you're talking about.
Correct.
Okay. Or McDermott. All right. My first prediction is that one of these games this week, the Devils will win in overtime.
Mm.
Tony, what is your second prediction?
Devils will have over 13 minutes of penalties against the Rangers.
Nice.
Dan, your the second Devils, prediction.
The Devils will have at least two games of the three where they have three or more scorers.
Okay, three or more goal scorers.
Goal scorers, yeah.
In two of the three games.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, I like that. Bobby, what's your second prediction?
So mine one-ups Tony's first one just a bit. I was phrasing on our last show, Chris. I said I think they can win out the week. But to be safe, I'm going to say five of the possible 6 points, at least five of the possible 6 points.
Okay.
And I know that just because that would trump Tony's prediction, I do not expect a hat trick for it.
Oh, we'll see when we get to it. We'll
because it's still on its own. I don't know that it would warrant that, but
I feel like this next prediction is going into Dan shutout territory. The Devils will score with their goalie pulled. That's my second prediction. I haven't done it all year. I want to see them tie a game.
You're gonna stick with that. Pulled. You got a few more chances, right?
Yeah, I got eight more tries.
It's a good one.
Not really. Only two more really after this. We'll see. I mean, all right, Tony, your third and final prediction, sir.
Jack Hughes will have at least 2 points against the Rangers.
Okay, Dan, your third and final prediction.
We're going to pick up an injury that will have at least one player sidelined for at least a game. And it could even be an injury in that last game that would follow, you know, he might not miss any games, but there'll be an injury that happened.
Well, he only
got
these
three
games, so.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, he doesn't have to miss time in these three games. He doesn't have to be injured in these three games that leads to them being out maybe the fourth game.
Okay. Will be injured in these three games.
Yeah, gotcha. We're going to have an injury, definitely.
Okay. Let's see. My third and final prediction. There will be a hat trick scored in the Ranger game. I'm not saying it's going to be us. I'm not saying it's going to be them. I'm saying somebody on one of those teams will get a hat trick.
It's got to be one of those two teams, though.
Yeah, I don't think the refs can do it, so I'm going to go with one of those.
Right.
Did everybody give their three?
No.
Bobby, your third and final prediction.
Sticking with the hot brat here, I'm going to go with he'll get a point. He'll be on the score sheet all three games, at least a point.
Okay, nice.
All right. In all three?
Yep.
All right, I like it. And we will see where we turn out. I'm down with that. Bobby, you got a devil you know?
I did get 15 minutes.
Shall we play a game?
Buckle up, boys and girls. It is time for the Devil You Know on the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil Podcast.
The funnest, most interactive game in New Jersey Devil Podcast history. Bobby will be our clue giver tonight. He's going to give us clues to a former New Jersey Devil player. Tony, myself, and Dan get to guess. We get three incorrect answers, guesses before we're eliminated. We can ask Bobby any question we want, and he can or cannot answer. It's completely up to him. Former Devil You Knows are Kyle Quincy, Ryan Carter, Nick Palmieri, Bryce Salvador, Jason Arna, Paul Martin, Jimmy Veazey, a few others in there. And Bobby, whenever you're ready, brother.
Okay. This former Devil played 11 total seasons in the NHL. In the 596 games played, scored 115 goals, 122 assists, that's 237 points, and a very respectable minus two. The number one movies in his draft year love these.
Yeah, I do.
Were Back to the Future, Beverly Hills Cop, Rambo First Blood Part 2, and Rocky 4, making this year one of my favorite movie years ever.
1984?
You're very close, sir. You always are.
Is it 5?
In 1985.
Okay. So he was drafted in 85.
That is correct.
Okay.
This is a winger who shoots right. He stands a little over 6 foot and about 210, 212 pounds.
Okay.
Former Devil is a bronze medal winner at the World Junior Championships for the USA.
He's an American from 1985. Hmm.
He played 4 total seasons with the Devils, scoring 57 goals and 57 assists for 114 points.
Was he? Did you say he was drafted by the Devils?
I did not.
Was he drafted by the Devils?
He was not.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see. In he reached the playoffs 5 times with 2 different teams. 50 games played, 5 goals, 12 assists, 17 points, minus 5, no specialty team points.
What was his goals?
5 goals.
What is that noise?
Not me.
Was that you, Tone?
No, I think it was. That?
No? I don't know.
5 goals in 50 games played. Did he ever reach the playoffs with New Jersey?
That was my question.
He did. Okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay. Did he win a cup with New Jersey?
Does have one of the cups with New Jersey.
No, Gary? Say that like it's...
No.
And
not Bill Guerin.
One wrong.
Okay, so he played for the Devils, the Penguins, the Islanders, the Flames, Canadians, Senators, and finally the Capitals.
All right, slow down. Devils, Penguins, Islanders, Flames,
Canadians, Senators, and Capitals.
And that's in order?
That's a wonderful question. No, that is not in order.
What was, did you say if he was drafted high or low in
I did not.
85 draft?
Like, he would be considered high at 16th overall.
Oh, wow.
He played 2 seasons at the University of Minnesota before going pro. In fact, he was the last player cut before the Calgary Olympics in 1988, I believe.
Did he win his cup with the Devils in 95?
He did win his cup with the Devils in 95.
Is this Tom Chorsky?
This is Tom Chorsky.
Oh, nice.
Finally got one.
Stan's on the board. Nice, Dan.
Little bit more just because I didn't even remember this. In 2006, he was named the color radio commentator just for 1 year.
Yes,
but then Sherry Ross came back and replaced him again. And my favorite here was going to be that if not for this player netting the 2-2 tying goal and the fourth goal, an eventual 5-2 loss on April 13th, 1996, you could argue the Devils make it to the playoffs that year.
Yep.
He killed us.
Yeah, he did.
That was it. I was almost out of clues, Dan. I only had his number and the cup in 95 left, so good job.
That was a good one.
I was just thinking that, you know, that's an early draft year. You know, it's got to be one of the earlier Devils, even though he didn't start with them.
I was surprised at his stats going back. I have such fond memories of him. That's when I started watching hockey. And,
yeah.
Quite frankly, just scored less than I had remembered.
Who drafted him?
The Canadians.
Canadians.
Montreal Canadiens drafted him.
But he didn't win a cup with them in 93. Was he still there for that? I don't think so.
He was kind of up. He did not win a cup with them. This is the only cup.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I guess minor league affiliate, I guess, at the time. So, yeah.
Well, we know that hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook and my dog barking in the background, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. And new customers can bet $5 this week and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now with code THPN, bet $5. And get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours.
Crown is okay. Dan's tonight.
Oh, Dan is the big wiener.
I'm finally on the board. I don't think I got one of these all season.
And I got to tell you, you didn't. I was convinced we had done this player already, but I'm not responsible for what we did in season one. Like, because I think it's even funnier if we can't guess it the second time around.
I get confused too sometimes.
Yeah,
I was thinking about Bill Guerin, and I'm like, well, I think we did Guerin number one.
Season two is in the draft.
Minnesota, I was still thinking Guerin, but like, no, that didn't work out.
Season two is in the draft, but one's not, and I think that kind of adds an element of surprise to it, frankly.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, because I don't remember Tom Chorsky, us doing him. I mean, it doesn't mean that we didn't.
I remember specifically bringing up his two-goal game performance before, so my mind, I was like, did I already do this guy? You know, like...
I'm not. Checking now.
You've
I'm
done a lot of guys, Bobby. A lot of guys.
Starts with you three.
The bond that lasts forever.
I don't see him on the original list, but I might not have him all
at this
down.
Point, Chris. I tend to think I look wasn't, at. I don't think we did.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, and that's why I kind of thought like, no, we didn't do Paul Martin. It turns out we did. I picked
one that one. We did this season.
Yeah, I know that that's was even this worse season. To forget.
Yeah. But all right, so Tony, it's yours next, I believe.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
So that's next week. And why, just for the listeners, like we only do this when all four of us are on. So that's why we might not do it for a couple of weeks. And then like, it seems like, cause it does feel like we just did one, but we don't know when all four of us are going to, we don't know when all four of us are going to get on. So we try and do this, you know, cause we can't do it without all four of us. So, you know, so with these three big games, playoffs basically out of reach, and the three games coming up this week, like I really don't care about the Ottawa game or the Penguin game. Like I just want to win that Ranger game. Like I just want to make our presence known and not be just such a pushover like we were these last three games that we played against them. I mean, they embarrassed us every game.
Yeah, I mean, you got to really do it for the whole organization, for the fans, for the, you know, each other as teammates. That's why it's like a real gut check game. I felt that way the moment that last game was over. I feel that way even more so now, especially, you know, like, look, if they hadn't dropped these games, they should have won. There'd be like playoff implications even greater. And, you know, you'd really want to win for those reasons. But in some weird way, like because they did that, I feel like, and threw those points away, it becomes the main thing for sure. And is to go and show some heart and play an ugly game and show yourselves that you can go there and you know, deal out some revenge. That's what it comes down to.
I tell you, Allen's been impressive too, man. I like to see him, you know, beat them. I mean, you can't blame him for this like,
last. You know what I love about him?
Neither of the goalies. Yeah,
when he loses, you can tell, like, he really believes he can come in here. He wants to be the guy that actually gets this turned around in the playoffs. And I love seeing that kind of heart. So hopefully, you know, I was very optimistic. You guys probably didn't listen to the show, right, with Chris. I did say I think they're going to win out this week. I just lowered my points because I need some points. Chris is catching up on me. But
Bobby gave all his reasons why he thought they would win out, and then I counterpointed with all the reasons why they're not going to win any game this week. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I just I just keep hoping that something's going to change. And then you see, like, you know, you're on the road in Buffalo, a two-goal lead, and you play the worst possible 40 minutes of a road game that I've seen.
It just all fell apart in the second period.
Yeah. And it's just these – and it mostly is in their own end. Like, that's the thing. Like, they did have some, you know, forechecking and some offensive zone time and stuff in that game. I thought that Jack was skating his butt off and he was really trying to do everything he could. But then just in their own end, they don't know what to do.
Well, they don't take the simple play to clear out. You have to clear out. And some games they have done it, and like they'll play. Like there was I'm trying to think of the game a few games ago. They had a lead, and they were protecting a lead for two periods. And
Maple Leafs game.
Solid. Yes. They look solid. I was not worried about them during that game because they were doing the, you know, the simple chip outs and just playing smart, simple D. You don't have to go out there when you have a lead and, you know, make every time it's in your end a beautiful breakout for offense's sake. Sometimes it's about like, hey, this puck has been in our end a little too long. Let's make sure we get a good clear. Instead, no, we're not doing that. We're just, I don't know what the extra step is. And then they don't clear it. It's just, it's mind boggling. You hear, you know, Dano and Bryce, you know, especially being defensemen under a totally different style, but still defensemen nonetheless, looking at this going, what are you guys doing? You got to get that puck out. And they're not wrong.
You know, I said to Bobby that for next year, like, I want to just see Hamilton, Luke Hughes, and Shimon Nemich that are on this team right now as far as the back end goes. Those are the only three guys I want back next year. Like, I want Tom Fitzgerald to go find three solid, you know, league average, just smart, good defensemen that know what they're doing, that don't make mistakes. Like, I like Nick DeSimone a lot. I like the way he plays. I think that the rest of the guys should, you know, follow his lead. He's always quick with his decision-making in his own end, gets the puck out. It's always hard passes. It's always, you know, blocking shots. Doing all those things. Like, I feel like with the three guys, another year with Simone Nemec and Luke Hughes really kind of coming in their own, Dougie Hamilton back, that's all you need on that blue line. Like, what do you guys think about that?
Maybe some coaching to stress that. Like, the coach should not tolerate trying a nifty pass that gets picked off out of your own end. That should be something that we're just not going to do. We're just not going to make bad passes in our own end.
And now when Hitaka was in, when Marino was injured those couple of games, I don't know about you guys, but I thought our defense was much more sound with Hitaka and DeSimone in there, more so than Siegenthaler and Marino.
Hitaka got sent down today, actually, back to Utica.
Great.
And I heard Tim Wood's thing, and I understand where he's coming from. I'm not saying he's wrong. I think there could be bounce back years, but I'm with you, man. I'm not satisfied with Siegenthaler's play, and something I never thought I'd say last year, Marino. And if you were going to, you know, go out and replace those two guys with solid D, I would totally understand why. Of the two, I really feel like Marino's got a bigger upside than Siegenthaler.
Yeah.
And I almost want to give him that leash to come back, but I would love it like an insurance policy where if he doesn't show maybe under some better coaching, the old Marino, we wash our hands of him real quick if he's going to stay with us. And Siegenthaler, I mean, between injuries and some of the decisions he's made, the fact that I look at him as like a little older and a leader, but he hasn't really filled that role, I'm ready to replace him this offseason, personally.
There's something we all have to remember, too, is like we all definitely missed Hamilton, but there was a lot of people that was not happy with Hamilton's play this year.
He's not the most defensive defenseman. Yeah. You know, like, that's the thing. Yeah. If you're looking for nobody making horrible passes and defensive mistakes, Hamilton's not your prototype guy for that. I mean, he was bringing the offense, and it much like so many other guys we got, like, you know, younger guys, Nemec and Hughes and everything, you're going to accept a certain amount of mistakes out of Hamilton. That's the book on Hamilton.
So you have to bring two pieces in, I think. I think you got to bring two defensive pieces in for next year, or you're going to have the same problems as you had this year. Yeah. Maybe
I'm
not
saying I don't want Hamilton. I want Hamilton. I kind of want one offensive defenseman on each pairing.
On each pairing, yeah.
Yeah, and so the other guy's got to be a reliable rock.
That's exactly what Chris and I talked about last show, too. And then we threw out one idea, which is kind of a big idea, but you could have the ability, you know, hypothetically, to take Marino and Siegenthaler. You could move both of them and their combined contracts to over $7 million. Then you can get a true stud number one defensive D-man and then fill in the other two with your Hitaka or, what's his name. And that would
quite possibly which is a great idea.
I like it.
But I'm curious what Tony and Dan think about Kevin Ball.
Oh, man, that is the thing. I want Ball to develop into the defenseman that I feel like everybody knows he could be, but he hasn't really done that.
Now, this year, the best all over again, Chris.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yep. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the same page with him because he's got such an upside. He's a big guy, got a lot of reach. He seems like he has got some really good sense at times, and he can pitch him with scoring. He's not, you know, he's not like, no offense, but he's not like a Kenny Danico defenseman. You know, he can, you know, score more than Kenny Danico, but he's like, unfortunately, he hasn't shown that. I'm just thinking it would be nice if we could keep him in the system without, you know, spending a lot of money on him. and give him a shot to come through, but I'm not satisfied. I think it's something I would regret later on if he develops to what I think he can be if we let him go now. I really do. But we definitely need more solid D. It's so important. We've seen now all year, you know, the goaltending has taken a little bit of the problems we had. It's taken a little bit of the focus off of the D problems. Yeah, I mean, people have known about them. We've talked about them. But now with Allen and, you know, Kokin playing so good for us, you know, I think that it's pretty obvious that what's remaining to make this team a much better team is a better defensive system, you know. So, boy, if I have to, I'm going to part with Kevin Ball if I can, you know, feel like I got it locked up to what I want, and I don't want to do that.
Tone, what do you think of Kevin Ball?
I think with Ball, I think one thing he's missing is something that I don't know if you can actually just make yourself have. I think he's missing snarl, and I don't think he has it in him. He's a big guy with that size. If he had that, it would be a whole different story right now. I just think that that's not something that you could just fake.
You know, if he had that, he'd be, you know, one of the most sought after defensemen in the league. I mean, yeah. People
I just
would
think
love
about
to have
Chara. When Chara came in, he was not the giant bull that he ended up being midway through his career. Like, he was always big. He had the potential, but I don't remember him playing as nasty of a game until he was in the league for a few years.
Well, maybe, when he Chara first came in, I don't know if, yeah. You know, it was so long ago, but he could barely skate. This dude was a terrible skater.
Right.
So when he finally got skating good and then, you know, the physicality, of course, comes with it, Kevin Ball, I think, is a, you know, he's a decent skater. He's not great, but he's an average skater.
I've seen him improve since last year. Remember his first debut with us? His skating has definitely improved since that.
Absolutely. But it's the... Like, if he was doing the other stuff, like the snarl and, you know, using that big frame and stuff, then you can kind of live with a few of the defensive mistakes because he brings something, an element to this team that we don't have, but he doesn't do it. So,
no,
again,
and even just the physicality of, like, you know, sometimes we need somebody to start a fight.
Yeah.
You know, and he has had chances where he doesn't do that.
You know, like we said on Saturday, like the idea of Kevin Ball is a lot better than what you actually get from Kevin Ball. So, I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm fine if he went. I'm fine if Marino left. I'm fine with if Siegenthaler left. Just replace them with, like we said, league average, solid guys that do the right thing. They know how to play, smart dudes. We don't need every defenseman to jump in on every play. And, you know, so I feel like this whole system is just – out of whack for the guys we have. Like, I don't, you know, maybe it's, you know, and you know,
it's
I thought
it's young, it's imbalanced.
Yeah, it's very imbalanced. And I, you know, you're going to need a coach that has a hard ass coach that knows what he's doing, that's going to tell these guys what is expected of them and
know
then hold
their
them,
role and shut their mouths.
That's it. And hold them responsible. So, you know, well, we'll see this week. Three big games. And it is crazy that their playoff hopes are still hanging on by an ass hair. And this week
doesn't feel like it, does it though?
No,
it just doesn't feel like it.
The dingleberry of hope.
You know, I think that this week, I think it's going to stem off of how they play tomorrow night against the Penguins. If they lose that game against the Penguins, I think that they're throwing the towel in, and you could basically not expect a whole lot for the remaining seven games. I think if they come out and they play really good and they're feeling good about themselves and they come into the Ranger game and they beat them in MSG, maybe they could put off a run of, you know, 5, 6, 7 in a row. But again, what are we doing? We're going to get in just to get bounced in five games because that's probably what's going to happen. But anything else you guys want to talk about tonight?
Just want to.
That's a pretty good preview on the week. Yes, Bob.
Bring up for Tony and Dan because they weren't on last week. You know, the offseason is coming for us, right? And we still have a show that we're going to put together. Last season, we spent a lot of time always kind of projecting out what the lines are going to be, right? And we just kind of went with it and just kind of discussed it in general. This year, what we're going to do is we're going to take the lineup at the end of the year, straight up what was put out on the ice. And that's going to be our starting point. And then we're going to make our predictions as to where I think our lines are going to go, like what players are going to be imported for opening day next year. But I'm going to keep track of it so that... Tony?
What the hell?
Somebody's got a static line.
Somebody see? Everybody mute themselves one at a time. That was something. It went down, but it's still there.
I don't know if that was me. That was weird. I'm sorry, Bobby. Go ahead.
It's all right. So basically now we can keep track of when trades come in or when signings come in. We can slot them in as it's happening, as opposed to just in October saying, yeah, here's the team that I said we were going to have all along. And we'll just kind of carry it through the season. I'll keep all four of our team layouts. That'll change week to week. And I think we can throw in some accountability sessions in there, just like we do with the other game, and maybe even make some kind of points out of it, share it out to the audience a little bit and get some votes just to see where it goes. You know, like maybe Dan, you're like, no, I like keeping Jack Hughes on the left wing for whatever reason you'd want to say something like that. And, you know, just kind of predict it out during the year as opposed to just coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah. In October.
I think that'll be a good time. Give us some fun games to play in the summertime, and hopefully, you know, we have a game 83, but, you know, don't hold your breath.
That's right.
So wherever you guys are checking us out, a subscription, a positive comment, a 5-star review goes a very long way to help us promote this little podcast of ours. We appreciate everybody for all the feedback that we get. You can reach us at UnclePuckers.com or go to theUnclePuckers.com website, or UnclePuckers@gmail.com rather, or theUnclePuckers.com, which is our website. You can contact us there. Check out the website. Every episode we've ever done is up there. And there's some blogs and some cool stuff and new stuff going up weekly. For Tony, Bobby, and Dan, I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers, and we'll see you after the Ranger game.
Puckers out.
Bye-bye. Almost forgot my line.
It's Taco Monday.
Thinking about the Ranger game already.
It's over, Johnny.
Oh, my God.
It's over!